The following episode may contain major spoilers for any adventure or plot.
Thank you for listening to Legend Lore from the It's a Mimic podcast.
We strongly encourage players who
are new releases will be aired on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube, as well as dozens of other podcast apps, and previously published materials will be discussed on our Patreon. If you are interested in more tabletop role-playing game conversations, please browse the episode guide at www.itsamimic.com. Welcome to another episode of Legend Lore, the podcast series where two Dungeon Masters flip through one tabletop RPG book at a time, giving their insights on the pros and cons of the publication in question.
Hi, I'm Adam, and with me is Sean, and today we're going over our thoughts on the Wizards of the Coast product, The Deck of Many Things, but the big-ass box set, not the little one that's been published in the past. Before we get into this product, though, I'm going to ask a couple of questions. And before even that, I want to say, the reason Sean is on this episode is because he bought this incredibly, overpriced. This is the most expensive thing that I have seen outside of the Dragonlance Deluxe Edition, which is $200.
If this is just going to be a bunch of cardboard in a box, I'm going to be seriously disappointed.
Well, this has inside the Book of Many Things, which has been ready to go. It's been up on D&D Beyond for months and months and months. But what they did was they printed off a bunch of cards, but it went to two different printing companies. The problem is some printing companies were doing like this half and the other ones doing that half, and they were all getting assembled later. And they printed them at slightly different sizes down to the millimeter. So you couldn't shuffle.
Oh, that's annoying.
So everything got recalled. And it was not Wizard's fault for a change. It was not Wizard's fault. Although you'd think they would have had the quality assurance before it got shipped out. The good news is they shipped it out to people, but it was all of the like advanced reviewers who were like, we can't shuffle your fucking cards. The bad news is they didn't have any QA on it before they fucking did that.
Yeah.
So
I think I remember something about that. That was what, like 6 months ago?
Yeah, six, seven, something like that. It was supposed to be before the holidays. Anyway, the product now is on shelves, which means I believe it has reshipped. Although I don't have a confirmation. I couldn't find one anywhere that we fixed it. It's just, it's on shelves now.
So we're going to have to actually test shuffle these things then.
We're going to have to shuffle them.
We'll shuffle.
You're familiar with the Deck of Many Things, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, and I know that I have covered the Deck of Many Things and how I homebrew them to be useful in 5th edition so that you don't completely derail and fuck up your campaign on every single, like, card draw. I did that. It's a two-parter, and it's on the Patreon, because I went out and bought the Deck of Many Things, which also comes with the Deck of Many Fates. It's a third-party product. Here, I'll show it to you.
All right. And to make sure there's no illusion, this is not the same thing as what Hit Point Press put out. Either,
no,
right?
No. So this is an actual WotC product.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah. So there's the Deck of Many Things, which is the standard Deck of Many Things, but it doesn't say D&D anywhere, and the descriptions are slightly different than they are in the Dungeon Master's Guide. They're close enough, but different enough for legal reasons.
Legally distinct is the term. Yes.
And then the Deck of Many Fates is an expansion to that deck. This has the classic one, and I believe an expansion beyond it as well.
Interesting. Okay.
Do you have any preconceptions, what you want to see, what you don't want to see in this?
Well, I mean, even just given the preamble, I do not want to see cards that are
that are not the same size. Yeah.
At the same time, if there are cards that are the wrong size in there, collector's item.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well. I'm like, maybe that's why it was $141 Canadian.
What else do I want to see? What I'm expecting to see is I'm expecting to see some high quality art. At this price point, I'm expecting to be able for them to have a little bit of a longevity, perhaps.
I'm looking for it to be high quality because people are going to be handling this, right? I'm also looking for I'm so curious to see what's in the Book of Many Things.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's got just descriptions on the cards and how to use them and that. And I know that I'm fairly certain there's bonus cards. I've not looked at the back of this yet because I like to go in blind for these episodes.
Sure.
But, which, by the way, this has been on the shelf for 2 weeks and it has been burning a hole in the back of my head. I just keep thinking about it. So I'm eager to jump into it. I'm curious to know what's in there. I think it's got like feats and backgrounds or something. Like there's more than just a breakdown because it's a full-fledged fucking book.
Sure.
But I don't think there's monster stats. Or if there is, it's going to be like the Avatar of Death, which is one of the cards you can draw, right? Like,
yeah.
It's going to be very minimal. And I don't think there are classes, but I'm not certain. I just don't think. I haven't seen anyone talk about them, so.
Yeah, I'll be interested.
All right. Let's roll initiative to see who's going to rip into this first.
All right. Of course I knocked you to the 13th.
I'm going first. All right. Okay. The box is fucking beautiful.
Right?
It is incredibly incredibly good quality box. It's got that like glossy sheen to it that the Curse of Strahd revamped and the Dragonlance Deluxe Edition, that like they do have high quality boxes here. This set includes, when I'm reading the back here, the Book of Many Things, which is a 92 page hardcover book for players and DMs inspired by the Deck of Many Things. 192 pages.
That's a lot of content.
That's a lot of content for, what is it, 50 cards? Not even?
Yeah.
I guess way fewer than that. The Deck of Many Things, which has been expanded to 66 unique cards.
Okay.
And an 80-page hardcover card reference guide showing each card in the expanded deck.
Okay.
It does say, this is for use with 5th edition, Player's Handbook, Monster Manual, and Dungeon Master's Guide. With their eyeing the next edition that's coming out at the end of this year, I wonder if this has been designed to be compatible with that, or compatible with, like, for example, if it says, oh, you summon a cockatrice, you can find this on Monster Manual page whatever.
Sure.
Which Monster Manual is it gonna...
Well, how far different from 3.5 was the 5e Deck of Many Things? Like, just in the straight book. Because it's always been a legendary item that you could purchase or stumble across somehow that had a gold worth associated with it.
It's very similar. It's one of those things, like the Tales of Yawning Portal has White Plume Mountain, which I'm actively running my players through right now. And it also has it just got a bunch of legacy adventures, including the Tomb of Horrors.
Sure.
These are not updated based on difficulty or wording. They're updated based on if you need to roll a save versus, like, it was a fortitude save before, now it's a con save. So that got updated. But the difficulty level is absolutely insane on this shit. Like, old school D&D was punishing. Modern D&D is very, very forgiving. So when we dig into this and it's just like, oh yeah, it saps 3 levels of whatever, like, that's old school D&D. That would cripple someone in 5th edition,
right?
So we're just not built to manipulate experience points that way in this edition. We don't have the rules for it outside of the Deck of Many Things. There are a couple of cards that are very much, you lose a level, you gain a level, which is unheard of, right? So anyway, I'm going to rip the seal.
That's so fucking satisfying.
That felt real good. I have the boner. So, opening it up. Oh, shit. It just keeps going. There are... Look at that. Look at that on the inside. There's a...
Hey, that's not bad.
There's the book and then a big old box. So...
Inside a big old box. It's boxes all the way down.
Putting that to the side. There is a bunch of, like, fucking cardboard inserts.
That actually makes a lot of sense because they don't want the corners to get all damaged in shipping.
Also, you'll see that there's a gap. The box inside is not the same dimensions as the book. Interesting. Okay, we're going to set the Book of Many Things aside. Fuck, that's pretty. Feel that.
It's nice. It's even glossy.
Textured.
Ooh.
This is the alternate cover. So this is like the deluxe, the real cover you can see on the back of it.
Yeah.
Which is a goblin dealing out the cards.
Actually, oh, cool.
It looks like a Nilbog, if I can be honest, because of the fucking hat. But anyway. And then there's the box itself, which, if we pull it open. Oh my god, it's not a box, it's a sleeve. Okay. Has, holy shit.
It's just boxes all the way down.
It's boxes all the way down.
Let me move this out of the way.
This box, oh, that's pretty. Look at that. You flip it open. This is almost like a cigar box, but bigger.
Yeah, a little bit like a humidor, quite
really. Yeah, that's absolutely a Nilbog now that I can see it up front. And then it's got the little pull tab for the... My God. Open with care, no sharp objects. So what we've done is we've got like a smaller book that is, God, landscape.
Is it a coffee table book, kind of? Like just for the art, or what's in there?
Okay. So we're going to go book by book through this, but let's... I mean, we bought it for the cards.
Right.
Let's look at the cards. Okay. So, I opened books all the way down. Why don't you figure out what the cards look like?
Sure. There's 3 sets of cards here. They're the standard, like...
I'm assuming they're 22.
Maybe?
Because they're 66 cards.
Maybe? Whoa, look at the sides of them. They're like gold, like...
Holy shit.
What's that called? When they do this on book pages.
Gilding?
Gilding? Is it gilding?
I don't know. It's gold...
Something.
Gold edges.
Yeah, gold edged. There we go.
Like, I don't want to use a knife. It says no sharp objects on the little page. I don't want to use a knife or scissors to cut these, like, shrink-wrapped little decks of cards open.
I hate this shrink-wrap stuff. Like, okay, give me a tab to pull. If you're going to go through the effort of doing this, give me a tab to pull. Because I'm just going to get frustrated and then use the sharp objects that it told me not to use.
Someone say that to you on a dating site?
It's a weird hill to die on, I know, but just fucking leave it.
All right.
I win.
All right, so we have now unwrapped two of them. This is the high quality content you love to hear. Holy shit. Okay.
Now, all the cards also have that gold filigree kind of. Wow.
Oh, they're so shiny.
Beautiful art.
Balance.
I don't want to use these.
I don't want to shuffle them. They're too nice.
Balance, Comet, Donjon.
That's the deck of many things. This is Uriel. This is the basic.
The Fates. Wow. Okay, I got to say, I really do enjoy this art style.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not quite abstract, but it's definitely, it's a mood. These are all the regular, I think what you've got in your hand is the actual original deck of many things.
I haven't even been counting.
No, I'm watching them. I'm very familiar with it. Yeah. This is, if these are split up into 22 cards a piece.
I will admit that it has been a hot minute since I've looked at a deck of many things in print or any media. So, I mean,
I have used them in every one of my campaigns. And as a matter of fact, not next week, but the week after, Mieka goes back to Maryland for, well, the entire time up to the wedding. So I've got to split her off from the rest of the party, and we play online while everybody else does something else. The deck of many things was drawn months ago, and it will intervene and teleport her away because hers is on a timer delay. So it gives me the opportunity to split my party in a long-term way. So the art in this is absolutely fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
So if anybody's wondering, the art is amazing. The each one of the cards is very, very clearly labeled. Like, you're not going to be like, which card is this? It's very simple. But the rules are not printed on the card. Like, there's no, if you draw this, this is what happens.
Yeah, no, it's just the name of the card
and beautiful a
lovely
art.
Splash art for it.
Yeah, with a good border, like, it's some bold font to it. This is probably one of the highest quality products, and I'm telling you now, you could shuffle them. I'm holding them in my hand. Fuck, they're shiny and smooth.
You could shuffle them.
Yeah.
But you almost don't want to.
I don't want to bend the cards. They're too pretty.
Like, okay, now,
so
was that one in the two spot?
This one was in the two spot.
All right. So this one, in theory, if it's 1, 2, 3, this is the third set.
Right.
So theoretically, they should have the enhanced or the expanded cards, right?
Yes, but actually, I wonder. Hold on a sec.
Uh-oh.
Because I think that these are supposed to be one. The actual deck of many things is one. Because when I flip it over, I've got the other 44 cards in the other two decks here. We could go Aberration, Beast, Book.
Are they in?
Bridge. They're in alphabetical order.
Okay.
And then the next one starts at Mine and then goes to Monstrosity. And okay. So these are in alphabetical order. Now there's Maze, Lance, Giant, which has a picture of a troll, which is cool. Fiend. So very clearly what we're dealing with here is the art is the same, like quality. All of these cards are meant to be a part of one bigger narrative here, right?
Yeah.
But clearly what we've got here are a bunch of monster and creature types mixed in with a bunch of like things that can happen as well. Mine, Lance, maybe some items and whatnot. I think that's what this book is for.
To explain it. And this is the landscape kind of.
It looks like a coffee table book. It's very, very shiny. It is pretty.
It calls it the Card Reference Guide. No embossing on this one.
Not like the special.
The Book of Many Things.
Yeah.
Or whatever they're calling that. Let's crack it open.
It's definitely a nail bog.
Yeah.
Like, it's got the little scepter and shit now and all the art. And, like, that's what we're looking at here.
Amazing. All right. Roll for the deck of or the table of contents. Deck of contents. God damn.
The table of decks.
Yeah.
What do we have here?
So it looks like it's got rules for customizing your deck as well. So it's broken down into four different sections by the looks of it. The deck of many things itself, so whether or not you customize it and what their meanings may be. Divinatory uses. Divinatory?
Divinatory is how I do it.
Divinatory? All right.
Divination, divinatory, yeah.
Right? That makes sense. Adventure spreads, so it would, it helps, I'm guessing it's going to have, like, plot hooks and things like that to be able to...
Creating adventure spread, example, variant, dungeon spread. Yeah, it looks like it's how to insert it into your campaign.
And then it's got rules, or it's got readings of the cards.
Do they all get one page, two pages?
It looks like they all get one page, if I'm just browsing through the numbers, yeah.
Look, that is a ton of content, because the cards are relatively simple. They've got in the DMG, they each get a paragraph.
Yeah.
In this admittedly smaller book, like the pages themselves are going to be 50% of what a regular D&D book is.
Yeah, I mean, it's still 80 pages, which...
It's 80 pages, but that's significantly more content than just the paragraph we were getting in the DMG. Yeah. So.
And frankly, it's more content than we've had for the Decamini things in previous editions as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Yeah, so as I figured, customizing your deck, it's got rules on how to actually change things.
There's a little sidebar that says, updates to the deck.
Yeah, you want to read that?
Yeah.
Here.
This is probably one of the most important things for this episode. This book, the associated cards, and the Book of Many Things include some updates and revisions to the deck in the Dungeon Master's Guide. Two cards have been renamed. The cards formerly known as, I always say this wrong, Vizier, is now the Sage, and the card previously called the Idiot is now the Puzzle. I guess that's just to make it more modern.
Inclusive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
for inclusivity language.
It doesn't change the deck, right? Yeah. In addition to the 22 cards of the Deck of Many Things, this deck includes an additional 44 cards known as the Deck of Many More Things. You know what? It is what it is. That's my level of cheesy bullshit. That when the goblin sits there and says, hey, you know what? We have the Deck of Many Things and the Deck of Many More Things, the players will get a laugh out of it.
It kind of feels like a, Mom, I want a deck of many things. We have deck of many things at home.
These 66 cards often appear together as a combined deck. The game rules for the new cards appear in Chapter 7 of the Book of Many Things. And then, yeah, that's, there we go. Now we know what's in here.
Perfect. All right. And then
the art is good in this.
Right?
Hold on. Keep an eye out. Do we see AI?
Well, yeah. I'm counting fingers. I'm definitely counting fingers. And, I mean, so far the images seem to have the correct, appropriate number of digits.
Also, it looks like the art that we see in Dragonlance and Spelljammer and Planescape. Like, WotC is fucking the dog on so many things. They're shitting the bed on stuff right now. Hasbro's trying to sell them at the time of this recording, and the whole thing is just a shit show. But fuck it, the art is good.
Yeah. And I should call out that they are actually crediting the artists directly on the images.
Well, there you go.
So
normally they just get a blurb at the beginning. It's like,
here are our artists.
Yeah.
Are our artists. God, that's a hard phrase to say. Anyways. So yeah, I absolutely super appreciate that they're calling out the artists directly on the images that they actually created. And
I wonder,
damn, are they good.
I wonder if they've tapped the Magic the Gathering artists because they all get credited on the cards.
Yeah, maybe.
And that might be part of whatever their contract is, right? Because the Magic the Gathering artists are so fucking good.
It's interesting though, looking at these two characters, the first two images that we're presented with on page 4 and 5 of the damn book, it's the same character.
We're getting more and more of that. Where if you actually they've been doing it for all the 5th edition.
Oh yeah, previous editions as well, right?
Yeah, they have their stock 6 characters, and you just see them going through random shit over and over again.
Yeah,
it's when you get to the other campaign settings like Eberron and Theros and whatnot. There's none of that. It is every image is a unique character.
Yeah,
but for a lot of the Forgotten Realms stuff, like in Tasha's, all the pictures are of Tasha doing shit, right?
Yeah.
Like it's that kind of stuff.
All right.
Do we know who this is? It might be buried in the text somewhere. I was just curious if a name popped
there's
up.
There's no, like...
I don't know. It's the same person that's on the cover of the... Actually, you know what? I bet it says on the inside of the Book of Many Things. I'm going to crack it for just second to see what the name... Oh, God, it feels good to open a book. I'm not going to be like Dan and sniff it, though.
Lick the book.
On the cover, Asteria ponders the magic, mystery, and mayhem of the Deck of Many Things in this menagerie of moments by Ekaterina Burmak.
Who is the first artist credited on page 4 of this one.
Oh, okay. There we go. So...
Oh, neat.
Yeah. Neat. All right. I'm going to close. Right. We'll get to this one in a second.
So, outside of... I mean, different DMs use the Deck of Many Things for in vastly different ways.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming you guys have already done episodes on that kind of stuff.
Just the two on the Patreon about how I made it so that we don't auto-kill people because I have... I don't think I've killed anyone in 5th edition with the deck of many things, but I've definitely done it in previous editions.
Yeah, and that's a piss off. Removing player agency like that is just a... I hate it, personally.
Yeah.
But this is meant to be used. It looks like they are meant to... Okay, they've got the card meetings and the card spreads. They're going to break it down a bunch of different card spreads. This is very much...
Tarot.
It very much feels like tarot cards for D&D. I mean, we've got... inside the divinatory spreads, we've got a one card spread, which is just pull a card, effectively. It looks like we've got a three card spread where the cards are actually arranged in like a T shape.
That's cool.
The outcome being being at the head of the T, the challenge being at the tail. The left and right hand sides are that which is hidden, that which is needed, and the center is the quest. And it really breaks it, or I guess that's the five card spread, isn't it? But it breaks down what each of the positions in the spread actually means.
Well, I'm curious. I don't think it says anywhere, because I'm kind of like, I'm reading it upside down as you're holding it. But I don't think that, like, in tarot cards, if they land facing a certain way, like if they're upside down, they'll have a different meaning. I don't think the deck of many things does that.
Maybe. I mean, frankly, that's DM discretion. That would be a fun way of being able to use them, frankly.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
if you pull it right side up, then it happens to you. If you pull it like upside down, it happens to the person to your left.
I will note, though, that the backs of the cards very definitely have an orientation.
Yes.
So it would be very easy to be able to see and presage that almost.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
So, I mean, I personally wouldn't do that using this specific deck and this specific art.
You'd have to be paying pretty close attention to it, though, because the constellation in the middle of the graphic... That's your orientation. Everything else is...
Oh, maybe not. Maybe I was looking at it funny.
Yeah, you're looking at it funny.
I was looking at it funny. Yeah, I'm wrong.
Upside down or right side up.
So okay. You absolutely could do a reverse card order.
Cool. Which you cannot do with the other one that I bought, which has the moth theme on it. So that one, you know, looking at it, which way is up.
Yeah.
So.
Very cool. All right.
How many spreads do we get?
So, I mean, it's got, for the divinatory spreads, it's got how-tos, blurbs about one card, three card, and five card. And then it goes to an adventure spread, which is a little bit different. Yeah, okay. I'm going to let you dive into that because you read faster than I do.
I'm just going to... There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... There are 9 steps to this. I'm not going to go through all of it in this episode, but... With this method, the cards drawn determine adventure details such as the situation that launches the adventure, challenges the party faces along the way, and the final obstacle the party must overcome. This is a randomly, like, you can use a deck of many things to randomly generate a small quest.
Interesting.
I could do this to build my next one shot.
That's kind of fascinating, actually.
Yeah, I really like that. Okay, so in Xanathar's Guide to Everything, they've got a way to just build a character, like you roll randomly, and Dave builds all of his characters this way. He randomly rolls to see what he gets. So he has a table of what race, and then he rolls a d12. No, he flips a coin to see whether or not it's going to be a +1 or a 0. Then he rolls a d12 to find out which class is going to be, and then he figures out how many subclasses, so he rolls dice. And he builds the whole thing randomly.
Which okay, is I love that.
How he ended up with a rogue scout fairy right now that he is playing, and actually loving the shit out of.
Yeah.
So... he said it keeps him from power gaming, so...
I respect that.
Yeah. So, okay, when we go through this... Oh my god, there's so much to it. So you have... So here are the steps. The party gathers, the adventure begins, the journey, the entrance, the challenge, another challenge, another challenge... treasure, and then the guardian.
Interesting. Okay.
So that's a one shot. That builds a one shot right there. The variant here is a dungeon spread, which gives you locations like the donjon, the... ruin, tavern, temple, tower, like all of these are cards you can draw. The story deck, which is balance, comet, fates, flames. And then the features deck, which is aberration, beast, expert, humanoid, jester, key, throne. So like the majority of them are features.
Yeah.
So you just pick up, hey, for this dungeon, what's the dungeon going to be? And you draw, it's going to be a bridge, cavern, crossroads. And then what's the story? And then depending on which card you draw, it'll tell you what the basic story is.
That's very cool.
And then the feature is what's in the dungeon, very simply. So if you wanted to run a full one shot based on the adventure path, you can. If you just need to plunk a dungeon in front of your players, you can draw cards, and in 3 cards, you can do it.
That's actually really useful.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a little section on fortune tellers. Okay, here we go. Reading the cards. Each position includes 5 possible signifiers to choose from based on the situation. Oh, okay, hold on. A summary of your card's overall meaning and explanations of what the card might signify in both upright and upside down positions.
There we go. Yeah, so it does do that.
Yeah, so there are 5 possible signifiers to choose from, which is a person, a creature or trap, a place, a treasure, or a situation. And so I'm just looking at the first one. There are all the cards. We're not going to go through them.
No.
But actually, let me grab one of the famous ones. Donjon is specifically the scariest one because it removes a person from the fucking...
Oh, does it?
Yeah, so the... I'll read it. The actual donjon in the Dungeon Master's Guide essentially sends you to another dimension and nobody can find you. You are removed from the campaign.
Yeah.
So there are upright meanings and reversed meanings. Upright, a prisoner or a person who feels trapped, is if you end up drawing it in the person slot.
Okay.
Of the adventure path. The creature or trap is a creature that grapples or swallows prey whole.
Okay.
Donjon. Sure, that makes sense. Yeah. Yep. Place is a place of imprisonment, such as a literal dungeon or a menagerie. Treasure is a treasure locked in a vault or magic with the power to bind or imprison. Situation is an impasse, a situation that threatens someone's freedom, or a situation where someone's indecision is keeping everyone in suspense. It's vague enough that it can fit in any single campaign.
Like a lot of tarot card readings.
Yeah, but that's 5 for the upright. There are 5 for the upside down as well.
All right.
So a recently freed or escaped prisoner or a free thinker who rejects social norms. So upside down, it's freedom now.
Yeah.
Creature or trap, the creature that has escaped from captivity or gone feral. The place is a prison broken open or a place associated with liberation, such as a monument commemorating emancipation. For treasure, it's a treasure that once held a being captive, such as in a 3D bottle that has lost its magic, or an empty iron flask. An empty iron flask is a big deal.
We have
personal experience with that shit. that's goes back like 15 years. Holy shit. Clearly memorable. the situation is a situation that requires creative solution or an effort to free people or creatures from captivity.
Interesting. So it doesn't have the immediate effects, though.
I think that's in the Book of Many Things.
Okay, maybe.
So this is just like a guide of how to make it, how to use it as part of your, everyday adventuring. When you need to flesh out, I have 2 of my players are away. I only have 3 players. What am I going to do here? I can whip this little cigar box out and put together something really quickly.
Yeah. Or you can use it as the divinatory stuff. You know, that we really need to be able to... Can you imagine what's the name of the fortune teller in Curse of Strahd?
Oh, Madame Ava?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually using that?
That's actually how I ran into it first in 5th edition, was Terry was drawing the cards.
Yeah.
And, oh shit, we had a problem player at the table who we do not speak the name of because he was a total piece of shit. We immediately killed his character, like kicked them out of the group after like 5 sessions. And then one of the other players, Jamie, then peed on his corpse after we fireballed him.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So we started off the next session. Fireball, piss. There we go. So... So we did not like this player.
He's also very murder face.
He's also very much the he has come back now as a lich to get revenge, and he is my main villain.
Amazing.
So, however, one of the reasons we didn't like him was because Terry found he wasn't supposed to be the DM. This other guy was. And the guy bailed 3 days before the first session, said, I don't want to do this, someone else do it. So after all of the like meetings and talking and when are we going to, and we got 7 people together to play, and then this guy goes, no, I don't want to. So Terry's like, fine, I'll do it. So he went out and bought Curse of Strahd and read all of it in like 2 days and then looked online for a bunch of resources. And one of the resources said, at one point, you're going to want the Taraka deck, which is the divination deck there. Which, by the way, comes in the Curse of Strahd revamp set.
Oh, sick.
So,
okay.
So I actually have that deck sitting on the shelf as well. So, but then someone said, or you can use a deck of many things. But here's an updated version of it.
Sure.
So Terry did that. The updated version had way more cards. It was like 100 options. You rolled percentile dice to see which one you ended up picking, right? And then we had someone went to go pick, draw a card, and this asshole who was not in the tent with Madame Ava said, oh, I want to do it, and like picked up his dice and rolled percentile dice. Terry, being a new DM, didn't feel like he could say no.
Yeah.
So this guy pulled the percentile dice and immediately struck himself blind. And so he rolled to then steal the deck of many things.
While blind?
While blind. And he rolled a fucking nat 20, and Terry, of course, brand new DM, allowed it to happen. So he got it, and he's like, I can undo it if I find the other card that undoes this, right? And just started flipping cards. So he flipped about 7 before everybody stopped him at the table. And he just created absolute fucking chaos. However, I wasn't at that session.
Yeah.
So the next, and I was the cleric. I was the healer. So they were in trouble because they just kept pulling fucking cards. And he was affecting his level, but it was all happening to him, right? Like, he would drop 2 levels and he would gain a 3rd arm. And like, it was just a wild version of the Deck of Many Things. So later on, the next session, I was in Maryland meeting Mieka for the first time, actually.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So at the next session, he went and pulled, or they said, you're not allowed to pull any more cards. He said, fine, I'll just keep them in my bag.
Mm.
And so he was walking around with it. They got to the village of Barovia, they backtracked, and they ended up going to the inn there. And so this guy who, like, wouldn't be allowed in because he was all disfigured, and like, there was just a whole bunch of shit that happened to his character. And the innkeeper is, Terry is like punishing him for doing the shit. No, you sleep in the stables. So he slept in the stables, and everybody else was like, I wonder what he's doing. So they sent one other character to go check on him to find he's still pulling fucking cards. And that was when he summoned a Baylor.
Oh, fuck.
Which is a CR20 fiend. This was at level 5. The Baylor then burned down the stables, destroyed the village of Barovia, and killed one of the player characters. Not the asshole drawing the cards. So, my first session back was, so we're going into the afterlife to rescue this character, right? So,
wow.
Yeah, to fucking undo it. And then shortly after that, we murdered the shit out of this guy.
And that's it's fascinating because that's not, I don't blame that on Terry's inexperience at that time. I blame that on, dude knows exactly what the hell a deck of many things is. And it's just sitting there being a douchebag.
Yeah, he was a veteran player. He'd been playing D&D for like 12 years, but he was one of these guys that is like, it's all about me, it's all about me, it's all about me. So fuck him. I hope that wherever he is playing Baldur's Gate 3 because no one else will play D&D with him. Anyway, back to this.
The Book of Many Things. Now, looking at this thing, what was the name of that character again? It says in here.
Asteria.
Asteria?
Yeah.
This book is about the same size. Here, pass me one of those, like, Phandelver or whatever it is.
It's the same size as Phandelver. It's not going to be the same. Well, hold on. We got a page count on most of these.
Oh, look at the back of this one, too.
Oh, I know. Like, that's the Death Emblem. Yeah. I love it. Hold on. Let me see.
It's nicely embossed. Beautiful colors.
So, the Phandelver and below is 220 pages.
Okay.
Eberron is 300.
And this is only 192.
A lot of the new stuff is in that vicinity. When you get into the box sets, Spelljammer and Planescape, they've got like 60-page books inside.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're talking about. The page count keeps going down and down and down.
I just spoiled something for myself.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I looked at the last page of this book.
And?
It's signed by Asteria.
Oh, shit.
So it sounds like this is another one of those,
you know, written by someone in someone's voice.
So it's got a narrator and she's it.
Cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Book of Many Things, again with the Nilbog. It's got credits and then table of contents. We're looking at 22 chapters.
There are 22 cards in the Deck of Many Things.
So it looks like this is literally just going to... No.
Yeah, they're just not in order. They're not in alphabetical order.
But chapter 1, The Fool, doesn't detail the Fool card. Whereas...
No, it does. The deck in D&D, each one has... Oh, no.
No, it doesn't.
All right, we got to flip to it and find out what the fuck's going on in here. This is clearly a supplement, by the way.
Yes.
Right? Like, you were supposed to have the DMG out and maybe your own cards. Because it says in the DMG, too, it tells you, get a regular deck of cards. The Ace of Spades means this. The Queen of Hearts means this, right? So...
Interesting. So, yeah, the Fool chapter, like, proceeds into describe how the deck fits into D&D. It goes through the lore of it, through AD&D and 3rd edition, 4th edition. Wow! Then into 5th edition. Where to go next? Okay, so here's it kind of... Here is how it kind of breaks things down. There's a section, the first 5 chapters are going to be the Dungeon Master Toolbox, which is just tools for the DMs.
Sorry, not chapters, subsections of the chapter.
No, they call them chapters. Like chapter 1, Fool. Chapter 2, Key.
Where to go next? Each card in the deck, all right.
Yeah, but it said it has inspired one chapter of this book.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, so it just breaks down what to expect in each one of the chapters. Okay.
Yeah.
So what are they? They're Dungeon Master Toolbox, Character Creation Options, the Celestial Suite.
Sweet. Adventure Locations, Adversaries and Rivals. And there you go.
Yeah.
And then how to use this book, which is your standard text appears in a box like this.
Well, you know what? I don't mind if they're not going to... Look, I was expecting them to reprint all the shit in the DMG with updated wording and whatnot. If they didn't waste the page count on that to give us new, more important, interesting tools, I'm fucking fine with that. You should already own the DMG.
Yeah.
By the time you're buying the Book of Many Things, you should own the DMG.
This feels like a real supplement to it, then.
We have not fucking had supplements. I am so happy that we don't have... that we're finally getting a supplement, right? Yeah. It's so late in the game for 5th edition that it feels like fucking why bother. But I love that it's a supplement. That's so good. The closest thing we've had to supplements are with the Monster Manual. We had Volos and Tome of Foes, which have now been pulled out of print and they're no longer accurate because they redid all the stat blocks for Monsters of the Multiverse.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Which is all going to be, I think Monsters of the Multiverse is going to carry over into the next edition because it's all backwards compatible, quote unquote. But the new Monster Manual is going to have, that comes out I think early 2025, is going to have updated stats for all of the monsters in the Monster Manual plus or minus a handful. Right. So, however, for the players' handbook, we've only gotten Xanathar's and Tasha's, and all of the player options. It's got some good shit in there for other things, but all of the player options in there are going to get wiped clean because we get a new player's handbook with 48 subclasses in it coming, which is can, and I quote, be played beside the other classes. They're designed to be balanced. So a 5th edition fighter and a 5.5, 1D&D, 6-inch, whatever they're going to fucking call it, whatever we land on, they can exist in the same party.
Interesting.
But the class works differently. It has different base things that it can do as a class, and then all the subclasses will be different as well. But I wonder, will Tasha's still be useful? Will Xanathar still be useful? And the DMG, the only supplement we ever got, and I use the term loosely, is the Sword Coast Adventures Guide, because it is the biggest piece of shit book that's out there. Stay tuned for that, Legend Lore patrons, because Jesus Christ, we will be ripping that shit apart. So... having this as another supplement to the Dungeon Master's Guide, even though it's so narrow and focused, it's a very, very narrow spotlight.
Yeah.
This is phenomenal. I'm glad that we get this. I'm not sure that it's going to be useful at every table, but it'll be useful at mine. Like, I will get some mileage out of this for sure.
Absolutely.
So, the art in this, I'm just going to just whip through this quickly because we're already getting late in this episode. So there's ways to use the deck as a section. You can use it as a starter deck. There's role-playing focus, lighthearted deck of horrors. There are options on how to use this all the way through this book.
What was that word? Horrors?
Horrors.
Horrors.
Yes.
Horrors.
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 The deck as narrative, how to introduce the deck, how to use it in play. The art on this is amazing.
I think you're right. I think they did tap the magic guys to do art for this.
It feels really
very
magic.
Much so, yeah. Right?
Which I'm cool with. I mean, if they already have artists on staff, go with it. Using advantages of using the cards. You know what? I'm going to flip to the table of contents really quickly because, holy shit, we get a new hag. We get a new Medusa. We get, there are some new monsters. We get a werevulture.
That's neat.
All right. The Princess and the Gardener is Asteria and Uriel. Ooh, and Care. Oh, geez, like there are actually NPCs in here. There is the Donjon finding the Donjon Sphere, because you end up going into a sphere and you're just held there.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything, right? Finding the sphere, layers, then running the sphere, how to split the party, how to escape it. Like, there's the information how to use the Donjon card, which is one of the deadliest, scariest cards out there.
Yeah.
Kind
of demystifying it a bit. Do you think that's a detriment or do you think that's a benefit?
It was such a kneecap to anyone that pulled that card. Your character is gone. If the rest of the party decides to go, like, derail the campaign to go find you based on the fact that you pulled a card, then at best, you can just sit out the next 2 to 5 sessions.
Yeah.
At worst, they're going to say, no, fuck it, write a new character. So all of your magic items, everything, you're gone, right? So
it removes a lot of player agency doing that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of fucking lore in this book. But I love the fact that they've got, like, a guide how to use this. It's still going to be scary as fuck. It doesn't demystify it for the players. It gives the DM tools on how to use it.
Okay.
But there's stuff like... All right, I'm going to flip to page 98 because... Megan, this one's for you. There's little like stat blocks and stuff for other NPCs. Aspirant of the Comet. Let me see. So... of the Omens of Apocalypse.
Apocalyptic Calamities. Neat.
Love it. Okay, so on page 98, we have zodiac signs. A zodiac sign is a mythological entity associated with a constellation in a zodiac. Each zodiac sign is associated with an omen, a vague prophecy of the events of an individual's life. They may not come true, or they might manifest in unanticipated ways. And then there are, like, I think 12 of them that have been selected. Yeah, so if you pull, I'm just going to pick one at random, Throne. The nickname is the Everlasting. The prominence is Midspring, so that's the time of year. The birthstone is ruby, the creature is dragon, the color is gold, and the ability score is charisma. And then there's a blurb on how to use this shit for each one of them.
That's kind of cool.
Like, there's, the deck can be just a thing that is in your party all of the time. And how many different ways have we seen to use this now?
Yeah.
Right? This is not just a description of how to flip this card and do this card. It is how to build stories, how to bring characters involved, how to help your narrative, and here are some DM tools to use.
Which, frankly, is what the deck of many things is supposed to be used for.
If I could be perfectly... Yes, I agree. 100%. If I could be perfectly honest, I could build a rapid-fire campaign around this where a whole bunch of level 1 adventurers find the deck of many things. They flip a card and they do the one each. Like, they flip it, it's the thing, and now that launches them off on the first adventure.
Yeah.
As soon as they finish that adventure, they level to level 2, and then we flip more cards. So, like, there'll be some sort of mechanic within the game, like, the cards cannot be flipped as if they're glued together until one day, like, they will charge up with a magical whatever, and yep, they will flip. And so it will unveil your fate as you go. You, the Dungeon Master, have no control over this. You are playing along with the players as well to see what they fucking pull, because a lot of the stuff, none of this is, well, you've got to be level 18 in order to, oh, you can pull a shit at level 2.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why do we have maps? Why are there maps in this? What is this? Throne. Introducing, okay. A character who draws a throne card from the deck of many things has a fleeting vision of a keep surrounded by a dry moat. That's a thing. And the problem is you've got to go in and clear it of enemies. That's the way that it works in, yeah, the DMG. Fog swirls across the ground, blah, blah, blah. Instead of courtiers and guards, spectral figures appear behind narrow windows and a huge serpentine creature slithers through the courtyard. The idea is that once you clear it, you own it. It's yours. You get the deed. You now have a home base. They give you the fucking keep in this. That's what this is.
Well, that's cool.
It talks about ghost traps, side effects, how to increase the challenge to include deadly gloom. The keep's ghostly gloom affects the characters as they explore. Holy shit. And it's a regular dungeon. You can see it's numbered here about when you get to the map, what the different sections are. There's the small keep. It should take you 2-3 hour sessions to probably clear that out if you're going to really take your time in it.
Wow.
With a specifically named ghost at the end of it as well. Like, there's a, oh, the big serpentine thing is a Bahir. Cool. There's so much shit in this book.
Mm-hmm.
There's more than we can cover, and that has never happened before. Because most of the books are like, here's 90 pages of subclasses. Or, you're gonna go into the Duergar Keep for this level. And so, in a Legend Lore episode, we're able to just be like, oh, so you go to Duergar Keep. This, however, every chapter is, all right, we have a new idea. Check this out. And 22 fucking times, plus the other book, plus the cards.
Plus the infinite amount of story that you can create just using the divination spreads and the adventure spreads.
Yeah.
And the cards, right?
Yeah, I am absolutely blown away. We've got Skull, which I believe is the one that, yeah, brings the Avatar of Death. But it's now called the Grim Harrow. You can join the Grim Harrow. You can go on harrowing hunts. You can go to the Gardens of Decay, whatever the fuck that is. Just the names of these are really cool.
Very evocative.
Yeah, but if even half of these are cool, there's a whole adventure hook thing about, there's a countdown. Laurel, a young woman who recently inherited her father's merchant wagon, finds a deck of many things. She travels the roads trying to sell her father's goods, ignoring the dangers that the deck attracts. Jared, a knight of the Solar Bastion, see chapter 10, so we get a named angel in here, enlists the characters to find Laurel before the Grim Harrow does. When the adventurers reach her, however, they learn she has sold the deck and a harrowing hunt has already begun. That's one. There are four. This might be the most interesting purchase.
Would you consider this the best thing that WotC has put out in a while? Where does it fall in the hierarchy of excellent WotC material?
Well, that's the point of the episode, and we'll land on that at the very end. But I will say this. Recently, we have gotten, working backwards, Planescape is interesting but not fleshed out enough. Phandelver and Below was just the starter set of The Lost Mines of Phandelver,
yep,
for the first half, and the second half is wild aberration bullshit, which I find very interesting, but won't be for everybody. I think that's probably one of the best things they've released in a while, because you get all sorts of weird twisted. The Illithids are fucking with goblins and townsfolk, and like townsfolk are warping physically.
As interesting.
Oh yeah. It's crazy reality breaking down shit, which is fun. Glory of the Giants had all that AI art problems that they had. The monsters are really cool. Unless you're doing a giant campaign, you can skip it.
Yep.
Keys from the Golden Vault, very cool. 7 unique heists to do at different levels. Each one is radically different. The Golden Vault is actually the name of an organization that gives you a key, and then you've got to go do this heist for them. Right, so that's the premise, but it says right in the book, replace it with whatever you want, right? Like, or run it as a 1, 2, 3 shot, whatever, right?
Yeah.
But it's a full book for 7 heists, including how to meet contacts, how to get information, who's going to be where, when. And you break it down to like Ocean's 11 style. They're only in the casino for the last 40 minutes of that movie. The heists are like that too. Like, you're only like doing the dungeon crawl part for a while. So I actually really like it, but again, if you're not doing heists, don't bother. Spelljammer was shit. Just shit. It was shit. There is... Hold on. Okay, if I can put this eloquently. Shit. So, it was... absolutely. I'm not putting any more fucking effort into Spelljammer. It was absolutely the worst thing that they have released in a long fucking time. The monsters are neat. I think the adventure looks pretty cool. The how to use Spelljammer and how to be in it and here's the lore. Piss poor. They spent too much fucking effort on the design of ships, which was just literally pages and pages of ships that are identical, except they're slightly different shapes. There's nothing interesting in there. It's just horseshit. So that takes us back a while to the second starter set. Dragon of, not Icespire Peak, Dragons of Stormwreck Isle was good. That's a good starter campaign, sure. So yes, this is probably the highest... Oh, there's Dragonlance in there as well. Dragonlance is good for introducing new people to the Dragonlance setting, but I think does a piss poor job of actually honoring previous Dragonlance lore.
Is the problem with the previous books that they're nowhere near as evocative as this?
No, most of them, the adventures are like, here's another Dungeons & Dragons adventure. Like, you know what you're getting into. There's nothing completely... Wild Beyond the Witchlight is a good example of it done well, because you start off going to a carnival and then suddenly you're in the Feywild and there are hags and you have to go to places that are named Hither, Thither, and Yawn. Yep. Are the three places. And it's cool. It's interesting. It's flavorful. The Ravenloft book really let us down as far as details go, but had great big expanding ideas on how to do horror. Really cool shit. Keys from the Golden Vault, really good. But Spelljammer, D&D in space, no, fuck you. Like, there's nothing in there to support anybody. Planescape was not about the planes. It's about the city that's the hub of the planes. There's nothing about the fucking planes in the Planescape book.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. So, like, this didn't just deliver on the deck of many things. It delivers on so much fucking more than that. Here is clearly a number of people sat down with a whiteboard and said, what the fuck could the Talon card mean? What are the overall themes? Okay, what can we do with it?
Yeah.
Right? And then there are going to be, because the book is not just like, oh, because I thought it was, each chapter is dedicated to one card, kind of like the little user's guide was, right? But it's not like that. We're going to have references to the Talon card in 7 or 8 different chapters to be used in 7 or 8 different ways.
To the writer's credit, they took what admittedly is a very fluffy, lore-filled subject, and they condensed it down into... What did we say? 192 pages?
Yeah. I wouldn't even say that they condensed it. They expanded it. It is, if I give you 22 cards and I say, Sean, I want you to write a freaking user's guide for 80 pages over here. And I also want you to give me nearly 200 pages of content on these 22 cards. The way that they've expanded and they did their fucking homework on this one.
Good.
I thought this is going to be the biggest piece of shit because they couldn't figure out how they were going to do it. And they have surprised me. Like, legitimately surprised me.
More of this, less shit.
Yes. Yes, please. This is... I understand the price tag on it.
Well, okay. But we also got, like, the special Uber...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, normally right? This would be your standard... Well, $70 Canadian.
Right? Yeah.
So, but I do understand the price tag. If you were to buy this specific box of cards and the book that goes with it separately, that would have been another $70, right?
Like, sure.
Because it's very high quality.
Would you say it's worth the price tag?
Let's roll dice.
Okay.
let's roll dice because there are questions.
All right. Oh, 19's a good number.
You going to bump me?
Yes, I will.
Oh, down to a 1. You son of a bitch. All right, so... So let me ask you, the very first thing is your overall impressions on the product in total. Do you want to do the box set separately from the book, or do you want to do it all as one?
I mean, okay, yes. I'm going to answer with a yes.
Sure.
Because taken as a whole,
yeah,
I'm impressed with the quality. I'm impressed with the material. I'm impressed with, frankly, the cards are...
The presentation is
amazing. The presentation is absolutely phenomenal. What was the question?
Your overall impressions.
Overall impressions are very good.
What's the downside?
For the years that I have been playing with the Deck of Many Things, and I suppose this is more of a reflection of...
I'm sorry, how long have you been playing with your deck?
That was with an E.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only for the last 30 seconds.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, fuck, what was I saying again? You sidetracked me, you son of a...
For the number of years you've been playing with the Deck of Many Things.
All right, for the numbers of years that I have been playing with the Deck of Many Things, it has always been a storytelling device. And it's always been, like tarot cards, very much open for interpretation for DMs.
Mm.
At least on the tables that I have played it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the DMs that I've played with don't necessarily enjoy the very prescriptive nature of the cards.
Sure.
Yeah. Right? So, I've always appreciated the more abstract interpretations of them. Right?
Yeah.
I love that they've done that. And I feel that WotC does a very good job of, at least in this, has done a very good job of creating a product that will actively inspire DMs to create stories.
Yes. Which we don't have a lot of stuff that encourages homebrew. We have, here's how we're doing it, right? And there's a lot of that. And then, like, how-to guide, if you're going to be walking through an enchanted forest, this is what you should do. But there's not a whole lot of, like, build your story, build a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I'm going to say the DMG is probably the last thing we had that's been like that. Except for the alternative campaign settings. Ravenloft, Eberron, Ravnica, they all have a how to build a campaign in this setting.
Sure.
Right? Here are your themes, here's your feel, here's the tone, that kind of shit. So, but yeah, for your regular, like, just Forgotten Realms shit, we haven't gotten any of this DMG. So, my overall impressions of this is probably the best publication of 2023. I know we're getting to it a little bit late, but it's the best presentation of 2023. It's probably the best publication, or I could make an argument that it's the best publication for the last 3 years of D&D shit. What was the last thing that I absolutely fucking loved?
That was specifically a WotC release. So I'm looking at Kingdoms and Warfare up there. And...
Yeah, Kingdoms and Warfare doesn't cut it. Minsk and Boo's Journal of Villainy doesn't cut it. It was written by a writer at WotC, but it wasn't an official product. God, Tashus, I guess? Icewind Dale is my fucking jam.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's got... It's all Arctic, crazy Arctic shit. And then there's a really unique kind of dragon situation in it. And then it ends up with you fighting a god. And then after that, you end up dealing with a Netherese necropolis that is like rising up from the... It's all like weird apocalyptic crazy shit.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. That one is my kind of story. And I know it gets a lot of shit, but it's... I've also flipped through it a bunch. It doesn't take that much for me to be able to just run it as is with my table.
Sure.
Like, there's not much tinkering like you have to do with the Tyranny of Dragons. So anyway, Book of Many Things, fantastic. When do you think someone should add this to their library? At what point?
Add it to their library or add it to their table? Because that's two distinct points.
When should DMs buy this book?
Immediately.
Yeah?
Yes. I feel as if a DM looks at this book and they take a lot of the story beats and they're inspired by them early on in their gaming...
Career,
as it were.
Yeah.
That would be, it's all better for it.
I'm going to say this should come after the Dungeon Master's Guide. You need it to tell you what the fucking cards are. Right? Yeah. So.
Well, the DMG details some of the cards, doesn't
all
it?
All of them. There's a whole big section, the magic items section.
Sure.
I don't know the page count, but it's like 8 or 10 pages or whatever.
Sure.
Just for the Deck of Many Things, where it just describes them all. Shows you the art. There's a big splash page of what the art looks like for each one that in theory you're supposed to cut out, but fuck you, don't do that. Right? So, So, yeah, for me, the players should not buy this book unless they're completionists or they're interested in the whatever. The Book of Many Things itself, not the full box set. The Book of Many Things is, as the players are buying Xanathars and Tashes, and you're buying Monsters of the Multiverse because you want more monsters to use, the Book of Many Things should be on your list of shit. There are tools in here, just with a quick flip through, that you will find useful.
Sure.
The full box set at the huge price range, you can find cheaper versions of the Deck of Many Things. And remember, the Book of Many Things that doesn't have the expanded card didn't say anything about the expanded cards. It was just the 22, not the 66.
That's fair, yeah.
So if you want the 66 and you want to pay for the big thing, if you're into it and you want it and you've got, you're about the like tarot feel of it and you're going to wow your players with it. One of the things that I really want to do, but it's awkward to bring up and I don't know how with my players because not everyone's going to get on board, is I wish that every time that we play D&D, everyone pitches $5 into like a pool. And then every once in a while, we would buy a big ass fucking mini or a brand new book for the group so that we've got three versions of Xanathars to hand out to people for whatever, right? Like, I wish we had a communal pot. This would be a great addition if you had a communal pot, right? The price tag is just fucking steep, right? Yeah. It is. Thank you again, by the way, for this. This is for those. So it was Mieka's bachelorette party. Like, here's the fucking story. We're going to just quick tangent here. It was Mieka's bachelorette party, which was its own shit show, which is awesome. Sean, your wife was there for it, right? You and I were killing fucking time at a nearby mall waiting for the, because we were designated drivers.
Yeah. Right?
And so we went into the local comic book store, which you'd not been in before, but it's also a local gaming store.
Yes.
Right. And so I was kind of giving you a tour around and I saw that this was up on the shelf and I went, oh, this is the thing. This is great. This is awesome. I'm so happy about it. And then I pondered out loud, is this worth setting back at the $140 price tag? Is this worth setting back a new editing computer by a month? And you're like, well, fuck it. I'll just buy it for you. Like, what? 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 And then I was just jawing the floor when we walked out of that fucking store. So you bought something else too, like dice or something. And,
oh, yeah.
But I have no recollection of any of that because my eyes are glued to the book in your hand as you're walking through the fucking store. What is happening here?
It's like some weird dolly shot or yeah. going through.
Yeah. So I was expecting like the narration to start off in my head too. Like, I saw him walk towards that. Like, it was
just, so, just to get extra creepy, right?
Yeah. All and, right. And so then it sat in the back of the car for the rest of the night. And by the time that I got Mieka home and poured her drunk ass into bed, because she was mostly liquid by that point, I then had to run out to the car to go get this out of the back of the SUV. And so, like, I run back inside, and I'm, like, putting it on the shelf going, I'm going to open it. I got to wait for the legend lore. And I've been, like, every time I come into my office to work, to do my day job, I slow turn and look at the shelf, narrow my eyes, and text you.
It's taunting you, Adam.
Yeah, it is. It's in my brain. Letter grade. What would you give this?
It has been a hot minute since I've looked at D&D products, at WotC products.
Sure.
So,
but you've seen enough other products for enough other.
Yeah.
So compare it to the whole market.
Yeah. Comparing it to the materials that I have seen across the tabletop spectrum over the last 3 or 4 years, I'd give this an A. The presentation alone is jaw-dropping. Like, it's pretty to look at.
This is a tier or two beyond what you're going to get off of DM's Guild.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nothing against DM's Guild or Chaosium or any of the other, like, small products. They don't have the budget to throw into a product like this.
Right.
Right? They have a budget to give you the PDF version that you can print yourself for the, right? But, like, clearly professional artists involved, professional craft people, semi-professional printers, eventually they got
they got it right on the second go.
Yeah. So, A feels right. I am legitimately shocked by how good just the standard Book of Many Things is.
Yes.
There's so much in there. It is going to be my lunch break read for the next while. And the fact that you can get it on D&D Beyond or just scroll through it as you want, perfect, right?
And I will say, I personally do not feel as if you need the cards to be able to get the benefit out of the book.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, the cards are the bonus, yes. Right? That's why it's double the price of normal, right?
Yeah.
Here's my complaint, my only complaint, and it does not take away from this product. Because I'm not looking at what we got, I'm looking at what we didn't get.
Sure.
And what we didn't get was the ability to buy that shit separate from this box set. That was my complaint with Warriors of Kryn, which is the board game, which you should come over and play, by the way.
Absolutely.
Which is the Dragonlance board game that came out. The board game is amazing, and it fits in with the Dragonlance adventure as well, really beautifully. Like, they've melded it together very well. But for, like, a year, you could not buy the board game separately.
Stock issues, or they just didn't have it out?
No, they did, like, a slow, gradual release just to make you buy the $200 double thing. Because it's another one of these board games, because it's one of the premium ones, like $120, right? And then they bundle it together with the shiny special edition book as well. So that's what the big, huge box up there
is. Yeah.
So you can just see that the size of this product is huge. But they didn't, it wasn't on shelves for like a year. If you wanted to play the Dungeons & Dragons board game, you had to buy the set with the campaign.
Yeah.
It feels like the same thing with these cards, right? Like, if you want these beautiful cards... Tough shit, man. Like, if you bought it on D&D Beyond and then say, hey, I want the cards too. Tough. You got to buy the book.
Yeah.
Right? You have to, instead of just having a $70 product, you have to spend $140.
Or you go the other route. You go to somewhere like, hey, make it for what? $2 for a back of cards?
Sure. No, I'm just saying like this specific product with the book and stuff.
Well, yeah, this specific product and the book, sure. But instead of having to spend that $70 additional.
Yeah.
You could go to Hit Point Press and get their deck of many things, which is nice. It's the standard deck.
Yeah.
Right? It's pretty.
There are other versions of it out there.
Absolutely.
And none is any better or worse than the next. They're all slightly different in different ways. You may like the art better than the art that's in this one, but my preference is this box set. The presentation of it is just so fucking good.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts before we wrap this episode up?
No regrets.
No regrets. No, this was probably, I'm going to say, compared to the other box sets that we've had recently, the starter sets are cheap and you get a set of dice in them and you get pre-generated characters, so they make a lot of sense. You get what you pay for, but it's cheap because you only get 6 dice. You don't get a full 7, which drives me up the fucking wall. Like, because you don't need percentile dice in a starter set, but like, fuck yourself. So... Planescape was okay. It was all right, but it didn't deliver on the planes part of it. And then Spelljammer shit the fucking bed. And the Dragonlance box set, $200 for the board game. And all of it's good, but you better want to play in Dragonlance.
Yeah.
Right? And then there was the latest box set for Curse of Strahd, which is Curse of Strahd revamped, which has extra materials. It's coffin shaped. I fucking love it.
Okay.
Place of prominence on the shelf. And it is...
There it is. All right.
And it's got a bunch of, like, it's got the Taraka deck in it, and it has postcards that you can send to your players to say, welcome to Barovia, right? To get them to come... Like, it's got some cool shit in it. This is probably... This and the Curse of Strahd revamped are probably my favorite fucking WotC products. So that's my final thought. As far as box sets go, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to know the one box set I don't have? Is that special edition Player's Handbook Monster Manual Dungeon Master's Guide.
Oh, with the fancy art?
Yeah, with all the fancy... The alternative covers and shit. Dan has it on his fucking shelf. And I know, like, I see it. Everybody else is like, hey, here are the 10 books I own. And it's always like, I bought the pretty box set. I'm like, I want the pretty box set. But it's always next on the fucking list, right? Because before I buy that even, I need to buy Curse of Strahd. Because as much as I have the revamped, I don't have it just the book. It's the only one missing out of the fucking library when you're reading. And I keep them in chronological order, so it drives me nuts. Anyway, that's it for this episode on the Book of Many Things and the Deck of Many Things. Like, I wish they called it something else. Like, the it's not just the book. It's the whole big expanded special box set.
The Pack of Many Things.
If you've been inspired by any conversations in this episode, you can reach us through our subreddit at r/itsamimic, our Facebook group, or at our Instagram. If you would like to support other things and more episodes like this, you can join our Patreon as well. Or you can go check us out on the website and donate through the donate button that is listed there as well. And don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, and leave positive reviews, because every little bit helps. This has been It's a Mimic, where you never know what you're gonna get.
Thank you for listening to Legend Lore from the It's a Mimic podcast. New releases will be aired on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube, as well as dozens of other podcast apps, and previously published materials will be discussed on our Patreon. If you are interested in more tabletop role-playing game conversations, please browse the episode guide at www.itsamimic.com.
Barnacle? Ice, icicle? Test, test, test. 1, 2, 3, testing. Yep, we're good. always funny.
Why don't you just, like, skip the icicle and just go straight to the testicle?
That's going to be the sound bite I just slap on the end without context.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Icicles, not testicles.
Well, sometimes your testicles can be ice cubes if you're not wearing your long johns. If your long johns are short johns.
Never a more Canadian sentence has been spoken.